the gospel lesson. How many of you remember that one? We don't read that in the lectionary. Barbara's down here shaking her head. She's honest. I don't know that I had read it at some point in passing, but we don't read it in our normal cycle. You don't hear that particular passage about the Pharisees and the scribes. But you see, something was happening during Jesus' time. You heard of the Sinai covenant, Moses' covenant, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. You've heard of those? One of those is honor your mother and father. Mark, your mother's right here, so, okay. Honor your mother and father. And honoring your mother and father not only meant, being nice to them, but it meant taking care of them in their golden years. And so here were some people, and the scribes and the Pharisees taught them. They said, well, whatever you are giving, tell your mom and dad, I am giving to God for you, and you'll be taken care of. And that went into the temple treasury, and the Pharisees and scribes got it. So it was a con. It was a way to get around this commandment. Doesn't quite fit with our day, our times today, maybe, maybe not. There are still a lot of people that will try and use subterfuge to get around what they know they should be doing. Jesus gets right on them. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, these people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Excuse me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. Twist, using the scripture, manipulating. True story, I had a distant relative years ago. And he came to me, he says, you're a pastor, right? And I said, guilty. And he says, well, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian, he said. By definition, we call those nuns. Remember, we talked about that? Are you Jewish? Are you Hebrew? Are you Muslim? And then there's a place that you can write nun. So there are a lot of people that are religious but don't affiliate. Well, he was a nun. That's all right. Not mine to judge. But he came to me and he said, I have a problem. He said, I sold a truck to a fella. And this fella joined a church. And he came back from the church and he says, are you going to forgive me my debt? And my relative said, I didn't understand him. And he says, well, that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Forgive your debts and your debtors. So you have to forgive the debt that I owe you for the truck. And my relative looked at me and he said, do I have to forgive him that debt? Well, we launched into a long discourse, but no, that's not what. Maybe we should have stayed with the term trespasses. Other denominations, Richard, do the Lutherans do debts or trespasses? Okay, so the Lutherans use the word trespasses instead of debts. In our modern day, it might be important to be aware of that. Either that or go join the church that this guy was going to and be free of all your debt. All right, I'm being facetious. The Lord is not fooled. Jesus was pointing out to the Pharisees and the scribes, you got a con going here, and the Lord sees it. The Lord sees all, knows all, and you will be held accountable. So that's what that New Testament passage was all about. You learned something this morning? All right, when you go to lunch with everybody, you can say, guess what I learned today? And I hope you get it right. Because I'm going to jump to all of the things that have been happening of late. The fire in Maui, paradise on earth and destroyed, and death. It's over 100, and I haven't heard the latest number of deaths they've found, but they still have not found all of the victims. Horrific scene. The water supply is contaminated. People out of their homes, people lost their businesses. They depend on tourist trade, and that's gone. Horrific scene. The people in Tonga still recovering from the tsunami. It will take decades to overcome all of that. Wildfires all across the world. The people in Louisville, I understand that there's a few houses that have gone back up. 1,000 were lost. Do you recall? We have flooding. We have Hurricane Hillary coming up the coast, west coast, already impacted Mexico, which can't take such things, moving up to Southern California. Devastating. Seems like there's a lot of big waves lately, doesn't it? A lot of losses, a lot of things have happened. That's the title of the sermon, Big Waves, and it comes because I was reflecting on a song by Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Most people would not have remembered that the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in Lake Superior, except for that song, 1975. Some of you know that? He says, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? We understand that. We have experienced stormy nights. We experience that when we have loved ones in the hospitals. We experience that when we have losses in our lives. We experience that when we go to the doctors and they say that dreaded word that starts with a C, cancer. We understand those big waves that come and they are overwhelming us and they seem to be huge. And so we can understand when non-churched people or people that are naysayers will come and say, there cannot be a God. Why would God let these things happen in our world? How can God permit this? If God is all powerful, then why do evil things occur? Is God just a myth? Growing up as a kid, we were taught a lot of myths, and I think there's some danger in teaching some of those myths, because the kids gradually learn that they're myths, and sooner or later they will ask questions about whether everything they've been taught is a myth. And they need to know that the Lord God is not, and that Jesus Christ was real. He knew that. That's why we have communion. Remember his body. Remember his blood. God is not absent. God is with us continually. Excuse me. God even made pollen. Doggone it. But the human race has departed Eden. We are no longer in that garden. I was starting to do some research. You never promised me a rose garden. I don't know all of the background of that song, but it fits here because we are in a world that is a natural world. We have Mother Nature, and Mother Nature can be so beautiful. Did you see some of the scenery in our video this morning? Wasn't that beautiful, some of the scenes? By the way, I should add, I will give extra credit for those of you who can tell me where some of these videos are filmed, because group that makes the videos is based here in Colorado. Now, I don't think they went down to the ocean to film that. I have a feeling they used stock footage and then took the kids to a creek somewhere. But if you know, you get extra credit for being able to fill me in. Am I a little off track? I'm sorry. So come on, Pastor, get back to it. But all of the beauty of nature, the beauty of the mountains, the snow-crested peaks, the beauty of the spring flowers, and if you have not seen all of the flowers around our church and the gardener's work that has made them so beautiful, take a minute and walk around. We are burgeoning with God's beauty. Amen? But also nature can have its hard points. I drive a car that was hail damaged. We got it for a song because there are little dimples all over the car. I'm okay with that. You know, they have dimples in golf balls to make them travel faster. Her nickname, the car's nickname is Dimples, by the way. But God is God of nature, and nature teaches us good and bad, because without sadness, how would we know joy? Without darkness, how would we know light? And without winter, how would we appreciate spring and summer? So God is still God through all that happens, and God is still present with us always and hearing our prayer, and God is with us in the struggles. You need to think about that and think your way through it, and think about what happened when that fire swept through Maui. I can tell you that God was present there and the people helping. I can tell you God is present there now and people volunteering of their times and their boats and their airplanes and of their labor, of their giving through UM Corps, of their prayers. There are people loving and caring. People all over the world giving of their prosperity and time. Sometimes time can be more precious than money. But the caregivers, the doctors and nurses in the hospitals, the surgeons, the caregivers, the counselors, the police officers who right now are under continual bad press. The worst job you could possibly get right now would be a police officer, and yet they are vitally important. And I want you to think about the job description. You put on an undergarment, and then you put on this heavy, heavy garment to protect yourself, and then you put on an outer garment, and then you go stand in the sun, 90 degrees in direct traffic on the asphalt. Say thank you. Firefighters wearing their uniforms and their firefighting gear in the midst of this heat. All of those caregivers, all of those who are offering prayers, they are all around us, and we need to acknowledge those. The kids' video this morning was from It Is Well With My Soul, familiar hymn. You all know that one? Do you know the background of that? Paya, do we have that slide? Oh, I didn't write down the date. It was right after the Great Depression. Horatio Spafford had a wealthy, wealthy man, and he lost all of it in the Depression. And he and his family decided to travel to England, and they booked passage. And at the last minute, he had to remain behind, so he sent his wife and four daughters ahead of him on the ship. And I don't have the name of the ship. It was something in French, which I would mispronounce anyway. But in the journey, in the midst of the Atlantic, they were collided with another ship that split their ship in half. It sank in 12 minutes. Only his wife survived. I can't quite imagine how ships collide at sea, but I am not a sailor. All I can say is God bless them. Four daughters lost, and so Spafford tried to figure out what to do, tried to find his place, and as he sailed to join his wife in England, who had finally arrived there, as they were traveling over the spot where the collision had occurred, the words came to him, "It is well with my soul." When sorrow like sea billows roll, when the waves turn the minutes to hours, and that's in our song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Gordon Lightfoot borrowed it, I would suppose. But they capture that crucial piece of grief. There are big waves that happen. It is not because God has forgotten us or God is punishing us or God is absent. And we can pray, but we always need to remember and say, "Lord, if it is your will to do so, may they live, may they heal, may they grow." Because we are not in charge, and God is not manipulated by humans with their limited vision. Celebrate nature, celebrate the goodness, celebrate beauty, celebrate music, celebrate art, celebrate children, celebrate food on our tables and clothes on our back, even as we pause to give prayers for those concerns that we have in our lives. God is not in the fires. God is not in the waves. God is not in the floods. God is not in diseases and sickness. God is not in cancer and affliction or even old age. But God is with us through all of those. And our response is a matter of faith as we trust in our Lord, trust and obey and follow. The psalm, "Let the peoples praise you, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise you." Let us be those peoples and give thanks to our Lord. Amen. Amen.